Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Sucker! The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you steaming towards the end of a stellar Thursday and ever closer to the football weekend. We'll talk some Thursday night football coming up here in just a little while. We've got in the next segment of the show a segment I have literally never once forgotten about. Fight Club with the great one, Lonzo. And there is plenty to talk about in the club today. We'll get to that coming up here in about 18 minutes.
How could you possibly know that when you forgot about it?
Never forgotten about it.
How could you know there's a lot to talk about if you're trying to avoid talking about it?
Never have. Never would. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to hear for just a moment talk a little bit of baseball, because I know that there are some baseball fans out there, and baseball is good right now, my dudes and my dudettes. So let's get into it. We do have a few stories, news, notes we've got to get to in the world of baseball. Cal Raleigh hits a couple of dongs last night, numbers 59 and 60. Most home runs in American League history. Right now, the number is 22. It was set in 22 by Aaron Judge, who has two more than Cal Raleigh has at this very moment in time. Of course, Cal Raleigh, with one series left to play, may get to that number because he's been on an absolute heater as of the last couple of games. They have got a finale to their series today with the Colorado Rockies. You know that's up. And then he's got the Dodgers for three, which is interesting now because the Dodgers starting rotation kind of in a weird spot right now. They have not named a starter for tomorrow or Saturday. The only starter is Clayton Kershaw, who will get the start in the season finale. Now, that's interesting because there is a possibility that on Sunday, on Sunday, when Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers take on Seattle in the final series of the regular season, there's a chance the Dodgers are playing for a lot. There is a chance the Dodgers come into that game, depending on what the Padres do, who are 2.5 games back, and depending on what the Dodgers do over the next couple of days, there is the potential that that may be a game that is must-win for the Dodgers to clinch the NL West. There is also the possibility that they've already clinched the West. It's a short outing for Clayton Kershaw, which, if you're hoping to see Cal Raleigh tie or surpass the AL home run record by clobbering three more big dongs in the year, would be immensely helpful with that. That would be tremendous for them. So I'm excited to see what comes out of that. I'm also going to tell you right now, I am in the Seattle camp for the playoffs. There are some teams that I really like. I really like this Cleveland team. I've enjoyed watching the run the Guardians have been on the last couple of weeks to catch and now pass the Detroit Tigers for the division lead. That's been fun. As much as they have for years of my life been a bane of my existence, I kind of like the Chicago Cubs right now. like plucky little upstart underdog team. I like that team a lot. But I really like the Seattle Mariners. And I like them for a couple of reasons. Number one, the people of Seattle have been waiting for this run for a very long time. This team has, it's been a moment of frustration for the past three seasons for Cody Decker and myself. Because it's just been a team that every year gets you all built up buttercup just to let you down when it gets to be playoff time. They either collapse down the stretch, miss the playoffs, collapse down the stretch, give away a divisional lead, or get into the playoffs and are one and done. What I like about this team is, right now, there's not a better team when it comes to balance between offense and pitching, right? Like, hitting gets you into the playoffs. Pitching wins in the playoffs. And one of the reasons that I love the Seattle team is they have had, as I have heard them described by BetMGM's Jay Kasson, my favorite baseball dude, a god-tier pitching staff that they just haven't done anything with. But this year, they said, let's do something with it. They made some moves at the deadline. They added some bats. And oh, by the way, there's a cat up there in Seattle who goes by the nickname The Big Dumper, Cal Raleigh. I am going to make the argument right now that if anybody wins the AL MVP, and I include Aaron Judge, who got to 50 homers for the fourth time yesterday, one of only four players in Major League Baseball history to get to 50 dongs four times in their career. The list is Babe Ruth, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Aaron Judge. That being said, Cal Raleigh is the definition of valuable. MVP is not best. It is ordinarily given to the best player, but it is not the best player. It's the most valuable player. And I don't think anybody is as valuable to this offense as Cal Raleigh. I also don't think anybody is as valuable to his team on defense as Cal Raleigh. Cal Raleigh played all-star caliber defense behind the plate. But there's another element to that that is not talked about enough. I mentioned a moment ago that the Seattle Mariners are where the Seattle Mariners are right now because they have god-tier pitching. One of the things that you will take note of when you see teams that are built to have excellent rotations like the Mariners do is that it is very difficult for a catcher to be the catcher for everybody in the rotation. Guys have different preferences. They have different chemistry. It could be chalked up to something as simple as the pitcher doesn't like the way the catcher sets up behind the plate. It throws him off of his timing and his rhythm. So you've got to have some teams have a catcher that plays just for one pitcher. Cal Raleigh catches for everybody out of that rotation. He catches for every closer, every reliever, and not one of them has had an issue with Cal Raleigh all year. Then you add in the fact that he is absolutely a throw-em-out guy. Then you add to the fact that Cal Raleigh has developed into being a field general for this defense. He is calling the shifts. He is calling the movement, the alignment. It's spectacular. And oh, by the way, 60 home runs in a season. Cal Raleigh is exactly what everyone wants, and very few teams have ever found in a catcher. In fact, if I was to put together a list of the best catchers of all time from an all around perspective, and I was to put them, let's take their best year, there are a lot of names that would come up. Pudge Rodriguez is one of my favorite players of all time. Pudge Rodriguez was not from the dish. He had some years where he was hitting dongs. He was not to his team ever what Cal Raleigh has been to the Mariners this year. Joey B and I were having a conversation about him, Cal Raleigh, earlier today. And we were able to come up with effectively two guys that we would say were as important to their team in any one given year behind the dish as Cal Raleigh has been to the Mariners behind the dish this year. Those two guys are Mike Piazza, who was an absolute menace from the plate and an excellent defensive catcher, Mike Piazza and Johnny Bench. That's it. That's the list. As far as guys who were as important, and there may be some baseball guys out there that can come up with some other names that you would want to put in there. A.J. Pierzynski, great player, great offensive player. Ted Simmons, like, there's a list of very good offensive catchers. I don't think there has ever been one that is impactful in the lineup as Cal Raleigh, while also being the absolute anchor of his team on the defense, and a guy that every pitcher in the rotation and every pitcher out of the pen trusted the way that the Mariners have trusted Cal Raleigh this year. He played all-star caliber ball all year long. He provided golden glove caliber defense behind the plate. He provided the best offensive season from the plate as a hitter of any catcher or switch hitter, by the way, but any catcher, maybe in the history of baseball. Again, like, I've looked, I'm not coming up with a better year, and it's cursory at a glance research. I'm not coming up with a better individual season of offense from anybody in history except Cal, but better than Cal Raleigh right now. What this guy has done this year, you are looking at a player that, I mean it when I say, the last couple of years, as I've tried to get people back into baseball, I have said, you're missing an opportunity right now. Because out in Los Angeles, California, IA, there is a young man named Shohei Ohtani. And I am telling you right now, Shohei Ohtani is the best baseball player to ever walk the face of planet Earth. This is a man who is a Cy Young caliber pitcher. This is a man who did something that I frankly thought was impossible and won the NL MVP last year as a designated hitter. Can you imagine a world in which a guy clearly wins the MVP and he only plays half of the games? In baseball, we're not talking about football where it's an offensive player. We're talking about baseball. The guy plays half of a baseball game. He does not play a lick of defense. And Shohei Ohtani is the best baseball player to ever walk planet Earth. And I have been saying for like 4 years now, if you're not watching baseball, even if it's only to watch Shohei Ohtani, you are missing the boat, because in a handful of years, those of us who were watching are going to say, we watched the greatest player of all time play baseball. And it won't be like that generational thing where it's like, no, it was Kobe. No, it was LeBron. No, it was Michael. No, it was Dr. J. No, it was Wilt the Stilt. No. It's not going to be like that. It is going to be, definitively, Shohei Ohtani was the greatest baseball player to ever. He's one of the best two or three offensive players in the game, and he's one of the best five or seven pitchers in the game at the same time. It's unbelievable. I am very quickly getting to that point with Cal Raleigh. Gold glove defender, overall all-star, and leads the league in home runs and will not be giving it back. I'm going to go ahead and call the shot. He needs three slappers to lead the NL single season home run record all time. And I think he's going to get there. Now, one more reason that I love Cal Raleigh. About 3 nights ago, Cal Raleigh and the Seattle Mariners clinched the playoffs, not the division. They clinched the playoffs. The folks in Seattle were just happy. Let's just have a start. Let's not collapse down the stretch and miss the playoffs. Cal Raleigh was down on the field. He was handed a microphone, and he was asked to send a message to Mariners fans in the stadium and Mariners fans worldwide. And here's the promo Cal Raleigh cut. And the Seattle fans came unglued when Cal said, we might as well go win the whole thing. Well, last night, the Seattle Mariners had an opportunity. With a win, they would clinch the AL West. Cal Raleigh hit not one, but two gigantic dongs in this game. The Seattle Mariners won, and they clinched the AL West. So out goes the young lady from Fox Sports to talk to the MVP, Cal Raleigh. I think she likes him. Naughty Cal. Naughty, naughty Cal. That's how a postseason war cry is born. I'm going to go on the record and say somebody from the Guinness Book of World Records better get on a plane and fly to Seattle, Washington right now, because I've got a sneaky suspicion that over the next couple of weeks, Seattle, Washington is about to set the record for the most number of times that the word is said by one community at one time. Because the war cry for Seattle from now until they are either eliminated or they raise that big chunk of metal, am I right? The war cry in Seattle is going to be, with nothing but calmness and brevity, might as well go win the whole thing. I got to tell you right now, not a Seattle fan. Except for now, I definitely am. I'm going to tell you right now, if the Seattle Mariners take advantage of this and they put out a might as well go win the whole thing t-shirt, it will be the first piece of non-Atlanta Braves memorabilia that I have owned ever. I would absolutely buy a Cal the Big Dumper Raleigh might as well go win the whole thing shirt the second it hits the merch store. Seattle, lean into this. We've been saying for years, baseball's got to find a way to make a star. They got to find a way to make a star. This is a sport that leans on teams. It's probably the only major professional American sport that still leans on its teams. But people love a star. Cal Raleigh's a star. Gold Glove defender, best hitter in the American League, an all-star, and dropping bombs on microphones after game. I am a Seattle bandwagon fan the rest of the ride. Mariners, might as well go win the whole thing. We also might as well do Fight Club with a great one when we come back. A lot to get to. WrestlePalooza and also other things. That's next on The Rob Brown Show and The Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into the Fight Club, where I took a break from my football t-shirts and threw on this amazing, amazing Wyatt Six t-shirt. By the way, you may think that Rob and I don't fight, but we do underneath the desk. So if you're watching the stream, you see someone like move their head back like they're in pain, it's because one of the kicks got through and it got really good.
Bingo.
Yes.
I'm like Shawn Michaels down there.
There's nothing in between us, and I've been practicing my MMA kicks, and he's a little bit taller, so he's got like a couple inches reach on legs. Actually, he's got more than that because I have a really long torso, but still. Now you know why. All right, couple things going on, including there is a PLE this weekend, this Saturday. And, all right, I wish I had one of those spinny things so we can try to pick and see if, yeah, sweet shin music. Good one, James. See if we could pick what streaming service has the PLE on it. So I'm going to, I can't even make that spinning noise because I can't roll my R's or do anything like that. There we go. There it is. All right. All right, it is stopped. Rob, where will NXT No Mercy be aired on Saturday night at 7 o'clock?
Cinemax. Cinemax still a thing?
HBO Max is kind of, it's.
Oh, yeah, I guess
yeah,
it
that's
is.
What, yeah.
This one's on, this one's a cable one. I'm going to say this one's on Hulu.
All right, it's still on Peacock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's still on Peacock, and it looks like, from what I've been reading, going forward, more than likely, at least for a while, the NXT PLEs will be on Peacock.
Yeah, I've had a theory for a while that I think one of the reasons that they have gone so hard in the paint on NXT for a very long time is so that they can land it on another streaming service for another big deal. Like, part of the reason that if you want to watch every WWE event for the remainder of the year, you have to have like 7 different streaming services is because every one of those 7 is paying the WWE a fat check. Sorry, TKO, a fat check. And they have now out loud said that they do not care if it's too expensive for you because it's not too expensive for other people.
Well, as long as you make the choice to pay the money to watch it or find other means to watch it.
Not that we encourage that.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard tell that that happens, though.
I wouldn't know anything about
it. I knew a guy who told me about it. Anyway, No Mercy happens Saturday night at 7 o'clock. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 matches, some of which I'm actually pretty excited about. It. The first one, not so much, Josh Briggs versus Javon Evans. Javon Evans, I am surprised that he hasn't moved up yet because of the things that he's able to do. He does remind you of Jeff Hardy to a degree, but more athletic Jeff Hardy and the things that he is. And he takes on a lot of big guys and holds his own or just flat out beats them. Josh Briggs has been in NXT forever. I didn't check, but I bet he's been in there like 5, 6 years. And right now, being in NXT is not a bad thing.
No.
Because being on CW, it's getting a lot of views. And there's also, because that's, you know, it's a place where you go for sports, CW. Being on CW, there's a lot of views. And I guess there's a pay bump when you move up. At least I believe there's probably a big pay bump when you move up. But still having a job is probably a good thing, too. Javon Evans wins this match.
Yeah. I think Briggs is kind of in that role of...
He's a tag team guy.
Yeah.
And he's never going to get away from being a tag team
well,
guy.
Well, I don't think... I also think he's just like, there are some cats that fill out a niche. And he's a great niche of kind of like an NXT guy that you can go in there, prove that you can go for the dude. I wouldn't be shocked if I'm not saying this is Evans' last match in NXT, but I suggest it's one of his last matches.
All right, and something that I just enjoy saying this, a weaponized steel cage match, just because it's not being sadistic. It's just we don't see those very often between Blake Moreau and Jordan Grace. We've talked about before how I feel like Jordan Grace is being held back a little bit, but this feud with Blake Moreau is going to help make them both. But would you want to be in a weaponized steel cage match with Jordan Grace?
So what's the caveat that makes it weaponized?
There are weapons in there.
Okay, that's what I'm at. Like,
if I recall, we've seen them in the past where like weapons are hanging on the ceiling and stuff. So I believe that's what it's going to be.
So it's effectively a no DQ match in a cage. That's a Jordan.
I think all cage matches are no DQ. Match.
That's also fair. That's a Jordan Grace custom match. Like that's a setup for her to win. If she doesn't win this, that means she's probably on her way. Is it back down? I guess to TNA. I don't know. It doesn't matter. The other aspect of this is like Blake Monroe doesn't need to be made. She's a star, and they can boost her whenever
it's time.
She's
wrestled like 5 times since she's been there, though.
I don't disagree, but there are some wrestlers who you can get away with them being a star with limited in-ring, and she's got that riz, in my opinion. And again, like she proved herself time and time again before she came back. I think this is someone you can use sparingly to make sure she's good to go. And when you are, she strikes me as someone you keep in the back pocket. So then when something happens, like you have a champ get injured or you call somebody up and you need somebody to take that spot, you can just pull the trigger on Blake Monroe and she'll be ready to go.
All right. I hate that I forget the name of this faction, but you'll remember when I get to it. All right. NXT Women's Speed Championship. All right. They've taken it off of X and put it on NXT now. It's Sol Ruka, who is the current champ and is amazing, versus Lainey Reed. And JC Jane, what's the name of the faction that she's in?
Is it Toxic Attraction or Fatal Attraction?
It's Fatal Attraction. Fatal Attraction. I think it's that. They just lost a member. And I believe that Lainey Reed's going to be the new member because the contract ran out for Jackson Nix and she decided to move on to something else. So I think she's going to be the next member. I think there's going to be interference by them, and I think Sol Ruka loses the speed championship to Lainey Reed.
That's fair. I also have to say the speed championship is probably the one championship I've just literally never cared about. I just don't care about it. Like, I get why you got it, and
I understand.
It's kind of
fun to watch. You know there's going to be a winner when time runs out.
Yeah, but, like, doesn't that kind of take away from wrestling matches? Like, if I know you can go out there and win a match in 60 seconds, why all of a sudden do I care about a 12-minute match on NXT? Like, just go out there and do that. You put somebody down in 60 seconds. Just do that every match. Like, it just kind of, it's a kayfabe killer to me.
All right, North American Championship, Ethan Page versus Tavion Heights. They've been pushing Tavion Heights. Tavion Heights got a victory over Ethan Page Tuesday night, pretending to be a lucha, and pinned Ethan Page. Why is Ethan Page still in NXT? Just his over-the-top persona works really well on the main roster. I think Tavion Heights beats him and takes the belt.
I do not. I think All Ego retains, and I will – to some degree, answer your question, because I think it's also the reason he wins this match. I think that they are a little trigger shy about moving people up, because the last hand, I would say a solid chunk of people that they have moved up, I'm looking at Carmelo Hayes specifically, who kind of had that over the top, can be great on either side of the line mentality. They've moved up and it's just been a wash.
His speaking is not, it's not. It sounds like someone acting.
Carmelo or Ethan
Carmelo,
Page?
Carmelo. No, Ethan is smooth.
No, I agree. Yeah. And I do think Ethan is another one of those cats that's closer to the main roster than he is being a lifer on NXT. But at the same time, like, you've got something good going here, and I don't think you take it off him because of that.
All right, two more matches. NXT Women's Championship match between JC Jane and Lola Vice. Lola Vice, another wrestler they keep pushing. I think JC Jane keeps the belt.
Oh, we're different on a lot of these. I think Lola Vice is taking the dub. And one of the reasons, and this is, I don't know if this is cheating or it factors in or whatever, been a lot of Lola Vice social media content over the past couple of weeks. Like, a lot of it. Like, a lot. And it's some of it's fun and goofy. Some of it's her, like, cutting promos that are only on Twitter or Instagram or whatever. Anytime, and I've seen this over the last couple of years, anytime one of them starts to get a big-time push on the social media, usually that means they're about to do something. I hate that this is the reason I'm making the pick, but Lola Vice.
All right, and finally, for the NXT Championship, current champ Obafemi versus big-time friend of the show, Ricky Saints.
I mean, you already know. You already know. You know how this is going to go.
All right, Oba has already been doing dark matches against Rusev and some other heavy hitters like that. Ricky Saints is going to win this.
Correct. Not just because he should, but also because the Rob Brown bump is real. By the way, shout out to new AEW Women's Champion, buddy of the show, Chris Statlander, who just got that belt. The Rob Brown Show bump is real, people. You'll stop doubting one day. It took a little while. It was a delayed bump for Stat, but a bump nonetheless. Ricky Saints is next. Every wrestler who comes on this show has a belt within a year. Every one of them.
All right, really quick, let's get to the...
Except R-Truth, but that's not his fault.
Yeah, but, you know, let's get to the PWI Top 500. We're going to do all 500 wrestlers here in the next 2 minutes.
Let's do it. Speed read, baby.
I just want to do the top 12. And here's the reason why I went with 12, because coming in at 12, say his name and he appears. That's not bad. Joe Hendry getting to number 12 on this list?
Not bad. It's great. It's great for a dude not on one of the big shows. Not that PWI really takes into consideration where you are. It's just how entertaining you are. But I was having this conversation with buddy of the show, Jack, the other day. It is incredible that this dude has a gimmick, which is literally just show up.
Self-made man.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And it's so well. There was one he did with one of the NASCAR drivers the other day who showed up, and he just comes out of nowhere with a helmet, lifts the visor when they say Joe Hendry, and it's like, how are you so good at this? Your gimmick is just be there, and you've turned that. This is something that every wrestler in the world has to do, but your gimmick is just be there, and you're one of the top 12 wrestlers in the world. For the record, there's two or three guys I'd move him ahead of because he can go.
And he's a good wrestler, not a great wrestler, but when he gets big time into WWE and has a contract with WWE, I think his wrestling will improve. He is getting a little bit older, but still. All right, number 11 is Okada.
Have you looked at the main card on WWE right now?
I know.
Spring chicken.
Number 11 is Okada. Number 10 is Will Ospreay. Surprising that he's so low.
Yeah, but he's also been out of action a lot.
Yeah, he's been really, really hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, bad hurt. Number 9 is Mystico. Number 8 is Seth Rollins. And he is not the highest WWE wrestler. Number 7 is Swerve Strickland. Do you have any problems with any of these so far?
No, I honestly don't. Not so far. I mean, I could make the argument to switch Seth and Swerve.
Yeah, there's only one guy on this list coming up that I don't know who they are. Number 6 is Jey Uso. Surprised he's not a little bit higher with the kind of year he just had.
I'll be honest with you. I think he's only where he is because of the year that he's had. Like the
is it all just about the heat?
Yes, it is 100% about the height. And listen, don't get me wrong. That's okay. Like, wrestling is two parts.
It's the same thing we just talked about with Joe Hendry.
Wrestling is two parts. It is half wrestling and it is half entertaining. And Jey Uso has been wildly entertaining, even if he's not a particularly good wrestler. I think that's why the Usos were so good. They could cover each other up there. And I'm glad they're kind of I think they're kind of starting to work back together as a tag team, which I think is great. I think he's only this high because of Yeet.
All right, 5 more really quick. Number 5 is the wrestler. I don't know who they are. It's Hiroki Goto. I don't know who that is.
Probably Japan guy, I assume.
Yeah, probably. Number 4 is Hangman Adam Page, who is coming to his own and is a lot better on the mic and everywhere else. I still think he should have kept the eye patch, though. The eye patch was killer.
Listen, I like willing to
admit. He was no longer a millennial cowboy. He was just a cowboy when he had that.
I love so much. It drives Lonzo up a wall. The millennial cowboy gimmick is one of my favorite gimmicks in wrestling of all time. It's one of my favorite gimmicks of all time. Like, yeah, life's tough sometimes, but also Buckshot Lariat. He's the best. I love him.
All right, number 3 is friend of the show, Gunther, which we haven't seen in a while. I don't know what's going on with Gunther.
It's sometimes important to remember that out of sight, out of mind is one of the best tools you can have in wrestling. Because I think if this guy goes away for 6-7 months and then he shows up and he comes back as the big European badass ring general that he was before he took the couple of L's to Jay and whatnot, you can kind of let people forget that that happened and you can bring him back as the big badass brawler he always should have been.
Here's what I hope. I hope he's secretly filming the new Bond film and he's the villain.
Good with that too.
That's what I want. All right, number 2 is Jon Moxley.
Mox... No problem with it. There was a pretty big lull in the middle of the year for what he was doing there, and there were some things that just like even in kayfabe didn't really make sense that he was doing. But I also think that when he gets involved and Mox has bought into a story, they're great. They're great. His showdown with Stat last night, or was it Wednesday? Last night was stellar. She rolled through a hit, got up, double birded him in his face. Oh, I was like, Stat's a goat.
Last night was the flamethrower also, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I just don't. Okay. Finally, number 1 is Cody Rhodes.
Honestly, that's the only one I have a problem with.
Why?
Why?
Listen, Rob, he has adrenaline in his soul, and I don't think you get it because of that. You don't have adrenaline in your soul. If you had adrenaline in your soul, you would understand why Cody is number 1.
I'm too calm, cool, and collected.
That's you.
He is, as I've said a million times, and I don't say this with any level of disrespect. You could legit just bump everybody up one, drop Cody around Jay, and I'd be fine with it.
So you're going to put Moxley at 1?
I'd be willing to put Mox at 1.
I don't know. Maybe in years past. I get it. I don't think Cody would be number 1 next year.
I don't either. Hey, that's it for Fight Club. When we come back, we wrap this show up. We got a few more things I want to get to, including... ABS coming to MLB. We'll get into that. We'll run through one more time the decision made, or I should say not made, yesterday by the College Football Playoff Committee about expansion. I'll tell you what that update is, and then whatever you guys want to get to on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio is the Fan Upstate. That's exactly what Mr. Announcer guy there just said. Wrapping up the show, the NCAA College Football Playoff Committee. That's who I want to talk about.
Same thing.
It's very, very close, to be honest. Met for 4 hours yesterday in Rosemont, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. Spent 4 hours talking business. The topic of playoff expansion came up, and they could not reach an agreement. But they also, according to Heather Denich, only had about 20 minutes of conversation about expansion. I floated my theory as to why that is earlier in the show. It follows thusly. Because it's a bargaining chip for the Big Ten and the SEC. And you don't want to give away your bargaining chip if you do not have to. The Big Ten and the SEC realize that even though that may cost them a few million dollars next year if they do not expand for next year. Oh, by the way, they do have until December 1st to come to a decision. So there is still over 2 months remaining before they have to decide that they will or will not. But they've got until December 1st, A. B, they don't want to take a chip off the table because I think both of them realize that while it may cost those two conferences a few million dollars because they will have maybe two fewer teams than they would if they went to 16 or more than that. The reality is it is very possible, nay probable, that at some point down the line, one or both of these conferences comes to a sticking point about the playoffs that they would like to push through. And they may not be able to get it through without the other conference being on board. And that is when they may push their bargaining chip of conference playoff expansion, as in, we will maybe give you a little bit more here if you'll give us what we want over there. I think it's just a bargaining chip that the two big conferences, and in this case, I'm not going to say the only conferences that matter, but the only two conferences that will get their way matter. I think they just want to keep the bargaining chip on the table in front of them. I would not be shocked if we see expansion by December 1st. I would just wait for a story where the SEC and the Big Ten are butting heads over something, and that may even include the format of expansion if they decide to expand. But I would not be shocked if when the SEC and the Big Ten butt heads publicly once again, if that is when you see one of them push that that chip into the middle of the table.
You said butt heads.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
It's not always about the other thing. Okay. Sometimes it's literal.
Yep. And second off, MLB has officially approved automatic balls and strikes on a two-challenge system to be implemented next season. The Hawkeye Tech will be installed in all 30 MLB ballparks. Catchers, pitchers, batters, the only three that can call for a replay. And I want to talk about this tomorrow because I got into thinking about how do teams handle that? You only get two. If it's a successful challenge, you keep that challenge. You can use it again. If you miss the challenge, you lose the challenge. You only get two. There's a lot of ways. How do we handle this? Can rooks use them, or do we tell rookies you haven't been here long enough? Only the vets get it. Is it so? Do you keep them in the back pocket for later in the game? Do you use them right out of the gate to have an advantage? I'm actually really intrigued by the strategery that will come out of this. We'll talk more about that tomorrow.
All right. Now, it's time for what? The X.
Do you just not have a lot of them today?
No. Oh. You don't remember. This has been a bit for the entire... You can't remember from hour one or two when you asked me why I did my sports flash a certain way.
Is William Shatner Xing?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That checks out then. William Shatner's birthday?
No, he was hospitalized.
No!
Yes.
See, this is what I always worry about when a person is Xing.
Yeah, but here's the thing. He was hospitalized, and he tweeted out himself, first day of fall, I've fallen and I can't get up, and he tweeted that old lady from the commercials.
Yep.
According to what I read, his reps say he wasn't hospitalized, but everybody else says he was, including he put that out like he, but he could have been joking. Maybe he didn't actually fall. Maybe he didn't go anywhere, but that's why he's Xing.
I would really like to believe that William Shatner did fall, and he tweeted that while he was on the ground waiting for help.
Probably. Because
I also just found his Twitter account where he tweeted, just because someone believes something different than you do shouldn't make them targets, except that they don't see your views and move on. It's differing viewpoints that make life interesting and makes the world go round. Unless you believe the earth is flat, and then I guess it just sits there. Shatner's the best.
Yeah, he's 94 years old, by the way. All right, Dean, next, and that's pretty old, and, you know, it's and as soon as you see someone who's really old Xing, you're like, oh, no. But anyway.
Yes.
The next thing that's Xing is Wolverine.
Wolverine is Xing because, and I was informed of this last night, if this is the reason, do we have a Wolverine video game coming?
You didn't. I sent it to you last night.
I didn't see it if you sent it to me.
I did. I sent it to you on X and sent you the trailer, which you can view right now if you look at
where I sent it to you. Oh, look at that. You sure did. 15 hours ago.
Yeah.
I didn't see it or I would have watched it immediately.
Yeah, I mean, you can see it now and go, oh my God, I got to get this game. Here's the problem, though. From what I can tell, it's only on PlayStation. But I could be wrong.
It says on PS5. You're not wrong. Oh, that's really disappointing. This game could... I've said this about a couple of games, but I freaking love Wolverine. And also, it looks brutal.
It does.
So this might be the no, honey. I know we were saving up for our vacation, but I really do need a second console now.
Yeah, I haven't had a game that made me want to buy another system in a while. This one may want me want to do that. All right, the next thing that's Xing is Drew Brees.
Drew Brees is Xing because, and I am mad at myself because I had this on my prep to get to and I just didn't get to it. The 2026 NFL Hall of Fame nominees have been released. Drew Brees and Larry Fitzgerald amongst a group of 11 players who were nominated as finalists in their first year of eligibility. Yeah, I know, but we have the college football stuff, and I always get told college football's got to go first.
I was pointing this out that you saw all these guys play in college. You saw all these guys' career in the NFL.
In college? I was out of college when Drew Brees won a Super Bowl.
Okay, all right.
I was out of college when Drew Brees was in his prime.
I just a welcome to where I've been for a while. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, Larry Fitzgerald. I was a grown-ass adult when Larry Fitzgerald was Larry Fitzgeralding people. I think maybe that's it. I think maybe the brain put that on the back burner there because it was just one more way that I was going to have to look at accept my mortal demise, which is in like 3 weeks.
Let's hope not. Don't do that.
Metaphorically.
Yeah, I don't want to have to break in a new guy. All right. And finally, the last thing that's Xing, and I don't know if you knew that this was going on. Thursday Night Football is Xing.
I did know that was going on. Are we excited about the game tonight?
No. No. No, I'm not.
I haven't really heard anybody talking about it.
All right, who's playing?
This is Arizona, Seattle.
Yeah.
I know about it. That is also correct, Tim. Today, back in 2006, the New Orleans Saints returned to defeat the Atlanta Falcons in the Superdome after Hurricane Katrina. I was there. Greatest sports memory of my bleeping life. That's it for us. Thanks for being here, amigos and amigettes. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, it's your own fault. You have bad taste in radio. You should come back tomorrow, though, because the Friday show It's weird. It's off the rails. We'll have some fun. We'll break all the weekend down, give you our picks, predictions, previews, and prognostications for the weekends. Have a great Friday. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. See you back here tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.